Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy.
I've resolved to save my office money in 2017.
During Staples' January printing event, you can get up to $80 off a lightning fast HP Office Jet Pro printer. It can save time and money.
Oh, that kind of savings will impress the boss. Maybe this year he'll stop calling me new guy Nick.
Well, there are worse nicknames.
I've worked there 6 years, and my name's Doug.
Resolve to save during Staples' January printing event with up to $80 off HP Office Jet Pro printers. Staples. Make more happen.
Ends 1/21/17. See store staples.com for details. Restrictions may apply.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. To God be the glory. Praise ye the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I am so grateful and I am so thankful that God has allowed me to be on this program again. I tell you, I don't take it by chance. I just don't expect this to be. I see Mission from the Heart Radio as an honor to be able to spread, explain, and extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are listening tonight, to those who have joined me on the program. I just give all honor and glory to God, for He is to be glorified. Praise the Lord. Good evening. Again, this is Carnita Smith. I am so glad that we are here together tonight. And I tell you, this lesson, again, has just been a blessing. Every week, God just replenishes me and for me to see His richness and His beauty. And in spite of my ways, I thank God for His grace and His mercy that He bestows upon me. I tell you, I don't take that for granted. And when I do, I have to fall on my knees and ask for His mercy, ask for His forgiveness in times when I just don't feel like doing things or doing with what He asks me to do. But always remember that our journey in life as a believer in Christ Jesus is not led by our feelings. We are led by the Holy Spirit. So, amen and God be the glory. I thank you for joining me tonight. We're going to get right into our lesson as usual, and we are going to be looking at the topic tonight concerning the grace, and that's capital T-H-E and G-R-A-C-E. And the reason why I express it in this manner is because it represents who we serve, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is grace, and I like to put it the grace. He is our grace and our mercy. So I want to ask you this question, thought about the difference between mercy and grace. Has it just been a thought, or did you believe they were one and the same? Well, at one time of my life, I'm going to share that I thought they were the same. I didn't have a biblical understanding, although I knew how the words were used concerning biblical things, such as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I always thought they were one and the same in meaning. Well, of course, as I studied the scriptures and allowed the Holy Spirit to reveal to me and studied some commentaries, as I usually do when I get into my study, He revealed to me that they were not the same, similar in meaning, but they are different. They are not the same. And I just want to give a very simplistic explanation of what mercy and what grace is. But we're going to look at them both together, grace and mercy, and I really want to focus on grace, God's grace. But let's look at the two words, mercy and grace. Now, mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. Let me say that again. Mercy, for those who take notes, I would suggest that you take notes because we're going to be going through quite a few scriptures that show God's mercy and his grace. And it's going to be packed full of scripture. So for those who are listening and those who are taking notes, I hope that you have your Bibles ready and a notepad and pencil and paper so that you can make note of these verses that we will be looking at and we would be going through. Now, for those who may not be quick writers or may have their own little shorthand, or those who like to write longhand, such as myself, you can always go back and revisit this program at your personal study time and pick up what you may have missed as you listen through. And, of course, you can always listen to the program on www.blogtalkradio.com/heart2heart MFTH, and that's heart, the number two, heart, MTH. And you can click on this particular program called The Grace, and you can go back and revisit and listen to the program and then write down anything in detail, pause it, restart it, and pick up what you may have missed through tonight. So, now, again, mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. And grace is God blessing us despite the fact that we do not deserve it. So I hope you picked up on those two meanings of mercy and grace. Again, mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. And grace is God blessing us despite the fact that we do not deserve it. Mercy is deliverance from judgment, God's judgment, because of our sins. And grace is extending kindness to the unworthy. Wow. Deliverance from judgment, that's mercy. Extending kindness, unworthy, that's grace. I received a tweet today from a brother in Christ, and you may know who he is. His name is David Jeremiah. He is a very good and solid Bible teacher. And when I saw his tweet, it was so amazing. And it read this way. This is what he tweeted on yesterday morning. This is what he tweeted. There is a wide array of blessings we receive when God extends his grace to us. Now, remember, mercy is God not punishing us for our sins, and grace is God blessing us despite the fact that we do not deserve it. Mercy is deliverance from judgment. Grace is extending kindness to the unworthy. So I just thought that was pretty amazing on how the Holy Spirit can line things up for us and be right in line in me doing the lesson on the grace and receiving a tweet on yesterday from a brother in Christ, David Jeremiah, and saying with what he tweeted, there is a wide array of blessings we receive when God extends his grace to us. So I just thought that was a pretty interesting share moment, but it just really revealed to me that I was right in line according to God's will for this lesson. So hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. So as we move forward, I hope you understand this very simplistic meaning of the two, because I did believe that the two meant the same until I started really looking into the lesson. So we all have sinned. We all have sinned, according to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. And I want to make sure you write it down. Ecclesiastes can be abbreviated ECC. Chapter 7, verse 20, and it reads this way: surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Now, that just solidifies that we have all sinned, according to Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Let's look at Romans 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And it reads this way: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And 1 John 1, verse 8. Says this: if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Scriptures solidify that we have all sinned. And as a result of that sin, we all deserve death. Now listen what it says in Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23 puts it this way: for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. So as a result of that sin, we all deserve death and eternal judgment in the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is referred to in Revelation 20, verse 12 through 15. Now, this is just solidifying that we have all sinned. Revelation 20, verse 12 through 15 says, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they have done. And the sea gave up the dead. And that is Revelation 20, verse 12. And I stopped at verse 13, but we'll continue to read. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And this just solidifies again that we have all sinned, all of us, and fall short of the glory of God. So, keeping that in mind, with this in mind, every day we live is an act of God's mercy. God gave us, if he gave us all what we deserve, we would all be, right now, condemned for eternity. In Psalms 51, verses 1 through 2, David cries out this way, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." This should be a prayer for us to cry out, just as David did, saying to the Lord, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love." How many times do we really ask for forgiveness from God, our words and in our deeds? Do we really ask for forgiveness on a daily basis? When we are praying, we should be praying for ourselves, just as David cried out in Psalms 51, verses 1 through 2. He asked, "Have mercy on me, O God. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." This is what we should pray concerning our sin. Clean us up, O God. Clean me up, O God. A plea to God for mercy is asking him to withhold the judgment we deserve and instead grant us the forgiveness we in no way have earned. Amen. A plea to God for mercy is asking. God shows mercy. He shows mercy to the merciful, to those who fear and honor him, to those who ask, to those with sincere hearts, to those who don't deserve it. According to Psalms 103, 8 through 10, has not punished us for all our sins, nor does he deal with us as we deserve. And we said that mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. That's mercy. God shows mercy to anyone God chooses. And it says in Exodus 33:19 puts it this way, "I will show kindness to anyone I choose." And Romans 9:15 puts it this way, and I'm going to read this in the NIV translation, Romans 9, verse 15. And it says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. And I'm going to read 16. It does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. So God can give mercy to anyone God chooses. He shows mercy. He shows mercy on us. How does God show us mercy? Well, the Psalms illustrate that. There are so many Psalms, numerous ones, that shows acts of mercy by God. He showers it on us each day. Listen to Psalms 103, verses 2 through 18, and this is in short. He forgives all my sins. He ransoms me from death. He fills my life with good things. According to Exodus 34 and 6, reads this way, I am the Lord, the merciful and gracious God. I am slow to anger and rich in unfailing love and faithfulness. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so very much that even while we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life. Wow. He shows us mercy. Titus 3, verse 5, he saved us not because of the good things we did, but because of his mercy. God expects us to be merciful. He expects us to be merciful. Micah 6 and 8 explains it this way. O people, the Lord has already told you what is good, and this is what he requires: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And that's Micah 6, verse 8. Matthew 12 and 7 says this, chapter 12, verse 7, I want you to be merciful. I don't want your sacrifices. He wants us to show mercy to others. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? According to Matthew 18 and 33, show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Show them mercy. Jude chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. So his mercy goes from generation to generation to all who fear him, according to Luke 1, verse 50. His mercy goes from generation to generation to all who fear him. Mercy. Again, is God not punishing us as our sins deserve? Mercy. A plea to God for mercy is asking him to withhold the judgment we deserve and instead grant us the forgiveness we in no way have earned. So cry out to God, as David did in Psalms 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Should be our prayer. We deserve nothing from God. God does not owe us anything. Anything good that we experience is a result of the grace of God, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Reads this way. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace we have been saved. Grace is simply defined as unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Grace comes from God, and we know this. Grace begins with God and is given freely by God. His graciousness to us is our example for extending grace and mercy to others. Extending grace and mercy to others is what we are to do. Extend. Grace is God's benevolence to the undeserving. That's you and I. Grace is the rule of life for the church. And through the church, God's grace is extended to the whole world through us. We are the church, and God's grace is extended to the whole world, as the gospel of Jesus Christ is taken to the ends of the world, just through this program, Mission from the Heart. It has been said that grace saved us, and it did, according to Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. It supports us. Grace supports us. Romans 5, 2. Chapter 5, verse 2. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It supports us. It teaches us. Grace teaches us. Titus 2, verse 11 through 12 puts it this way, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Today, in a time of darkness, in this wickedness of world, we are to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Titus 2, 11 and 12. expresses it that way. And it disciplines us, God's grace. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 through 32 reads this way. Let a person examine himself, then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Verse 31. But if we judged ourselves, truly we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. That's 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 32. So that we may not be condemned along with the world. Disciplined. Disciplined. We are to be disciplined. And according to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11, still under disciplines us, Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 11 reads this way, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Amen. It is for discipline. Discipline. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplined us for our good, that we may share his holiness. And verse 11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So we allow the grace of God to discipline us and train us. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11. With the Holy Spirit indwelling his church, we are able to walk with the Lord and live as he intends. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Not ours, but his good pleasure. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Walk in them. And Philippians 1, verse 6 says this, "For I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." What he started in you will be brought to completion. So persevere. Chapter 4 in Philippians, verse 13, puts it this way, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And this is a favorite verse for many of us. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Persevere. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Walk with the Lord. Be led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, according to his grace upon us. Rescued from judgment by God's mercy." We understood mercy is God not punishing us as our sins deserve. Rescued from judgment by God's mercy. Grace is anything and everything we receive beyond that mercy. Let's look at Romans 3, verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation because it just really pops out at me. And this is Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And I'm in the New Living. "For all have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious standard." Verse 24. Now God, in his gracious kindness, declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. God was being entirely fair and just when he did not punish those who sinned in former times. And he is entirely fair and just in this present time when he declares sinners to be right in his sight because they believe in Jesus. Because we believe in Jesus. Because we believe in Jesus. His blood covered our sins on that cross. We are saved by grace. Listen to this. Grace, we know, comes from God, given to us freely by God. His graciousness to us is our example for extending grace and mercy to others. That's what we are to do. Grace cannot be earned. It is freely given. Jesus went to the cross freely. It is by God's grace that he decided to offer us the gift of salvation. There is nothing we can do to earn it. We simply receive it with faith and in thanks. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 puts it this way. God saved you by his special favor when you believed. That's what we just read. According to Psalms 84, verse 11, he gives us grace and glory. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. John 1, verse 16 and 17, puts it this way. For the law was given through Moses. God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. Now remember, in Old Testament times, God gave a code of laws. He called us the Ten Commandments to show his people how to live for him until Jesus and the Holy Spirit came. Following these laws didn't earn salvation, but it illustrates what a life transformed by the Holy Spirit would be like. With the coming of Jesus, we no longer have to be slaves to the law. By God's grace, we have been transformed on the inside so that we want to live pure lives for him. Transformed on the inside. The transformation is the saving grace of the Holy Spirit coming inside when we believe that Jesus is our Redeemer. He is our saving grace. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, he comes in and lives on the throne of our heart, and we are saved by his grace, and we believe by faith, and we have eternal life. We are to show mercy. We are to extend grace for the furtherance of grace. Remember, it goes from generation to generation. His grace. When we arrive at God's special throne through prayer, we must linger to receive his grace. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it. Find grace. How should we respond to God's grace? Philippians 1:6, and I am sure that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus returns. Just read that. We are to respond. We are to persevere regardless of what it looks like, what it feels like. His grace woke us up this morning. His grace started us on our way. His grace gave us food to eat. His grace gave us a place to sleep. His grace. Oh, his grace. The very breath that we breathe, we can't breathe because of his grace. His grace. Listen to what it says in Matthew on how he gives grace to the just and the unjust. It reads this way. Matthew 5, verse 45, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Psalms 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made, on the believer and the unbeliever. He gives mercy to all. Jesus said God causes his son to rise on the evil and the good. And God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. According to Luke 6, verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Now, this is the God we serve, according to his grace, according to his mercy. A God we serve, a loving God, a gracious God, a God that provides for the just and the unjust, the ungrateful and the wicked. A love that's so far greater than our comprehension. How he does it, why he does it, I just thank him because he does it. Who am I? For we have understood that his grace, God blessing us, despite the fact that we do not deserve it. His grace. His saving grace. Saving grace. He's sovereign. A God that gives. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. We are under grace. Mercy and grace are best illustrated in the salvation that is available through Christ Jesus. That is mercy and grace. My coworker reminded me today that the thief on the cross, one was wicked and one was repentant. And Jesus told that one, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. The sun came up on the both of them. The rain came down on the both of them. But his saving grace saved the one who had a repentant heart. And remember what David cried out in Psalms 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Repentant. So, we deserve judgment, but if we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we receive mercy from God, and we are delivered from judgment. Instead of judgment, we receive, by grace, remember, by grace, salvation, forgiveness of sin, abundant life, according to John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. This is what we get, abundant life and an eternity in heaven. The most wonderful place imaginable. According to Revelation 21:22, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 22, through 21. So that's Revelation 21, 1 through chapter 22, through 21. And you can read that at your own study time. For the sake of time tonight, I don't have time to read that whole verse, but Revelation explains it wonderfully. Because of the mercy and grace of God, our response should be to fall on our knees in worship and thanksgiving. Hebrews 4:16 declares, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." In our time of need. We have a few moments, and I just want to open up the lines tonight for those who may want to share with me tonight. Maybe a prayer moment or a share moment to where God will has shown you his grace and mercy upon your life. So if there's anyone on the line that would like to have a moment of share, please speak up now. We've got a few moments before we end our program, and I just want to give you an opportunity to bless others that are listening tonight, because this has been a wonderful lesson concerning the grace. So please don't hesitate, and I just want to take a few moments for you to have an opportunity to do so on Mission from the Heart Radio.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Good evening. Good evening. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine.
Hello.
I'm fine. Yes, this is Charlotte Corpus. I wanted to share some scripture with you, what my Bible says. This is Ephesians 2 and 10. It says, "For we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand in order that we would walk in them." I just thought that was put so beautifully.
Amen.
We are his masterpiece. I thought that was so beautiful.
And how has that been a reflection on your life? How has it impacted your life or made a tender mark on your heart when you read that, Ephesians 10? And by the way, it is a beautiful verse.
Mm-hmm. It makes me feel good that I'm one of Jesus and God's chosen people. Makes me feel that way, you know, that I'm chosen by him, and that just, you know, really makes me feel good, you know, because I know that I am one of his chosen people, and it makes me feel, you know, happy and excited, you know, when I read that verse.
Amen. And we are his chosen when we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, correct?
Right. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And so with that being said, and I really appreciate you, Charlotte, for calling in and sharing this, and I do, and I just hope that others are being blessed by her sharing this verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And when we receive our salvation, then we are to extend that out to others that they may be blessed and become one of God's chosen, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Well, thank you, Charlotte, for sharing. I appreciate you calling in. And I would like to take one more call if there's anyone else who would like to share a verse, just as Charlotte has tonight. And it was definitely a blessing for her to bless us with that verse. So please don't hesitate. But if there aren't any other that would like to be a blessing to others, then we're going to wrap up this program. And I am just so grateful for you to have listened to the program tonight concerning grace and mercy. And if you did not get the verses that were listed tonight, please don't hesitate to go online and just type in your browser www.blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart-MFTH. And that's heart, the number two, heart, M-F-T-H. And go back and revisit this program called The Grace and enjoy the other programs that you may have missed. And just allow this lesson to saturate you and teach you the rich nuggets of God's Word, but it's for the extending of the gospel from generation to generation to generation. It's not for us to keep and hold and hoard ourselves. We are to be a blessing. That's why he blesses us, so that we can be a blessing. So I thank you, and I am so ever grateful for you calling in and just being a blessing to this program. So, again, this ends our program with Mission from the Heart Radio. We will be back next week, and we are going to be bringing a program concerning our children in high school or just in school, and they are being bullied, those who have been bullied, those who have bullied. We need to keep this topic alive and be in prayer for our children, because so many children are being attacked, and we know why, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that we would not focus on the Savior, who is Jesus Christ. So be with us, tune in, and we are going to kickstart this segment of bullying on next Thursday. So tune in and just be looking for this lesson, this program concerning our children. And we have so much to pray about, and so much to be thankful for, but so much work to be done in the vineyard. So let's be a worker in God's vineyard and pray for our children in school and in college and just some of those that are in neighborhoods. And one of them might be you, or you may know somebody who has been bullied. And so just be in prayer for them. And we'll talk about it on next Thursday in detail. So remember, the grass may wither, the flowers may fade, but the word of God will remain forever. God bless, and thank you.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I've resolved to save my office money in 2017.
During Staples' January printing event, you can get up to $80 off a lightning-fast HP OfficeJet Pro printer. It can save time and money.
Oh, that kind of savings will impress the boss. Maybe this year he'll stop calling me New Guy Nick.
Well, there are worse nicknames.
I've worked there 6 years, and my name's Doug.
Resolve to save during Staples' January printing event with up to $80 off HP OfficeJet Pro printers. Staples, make more happen.
Ends 1/21/17. See store or staples.com for details. Restrictions may apply.